You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
All right, so I'm just going to ask you, I'll ask you once. Did you listen to the Chance mixtape?
Twice.
All right, so we could talk about the Chance mixtape.
Yep.
And in general, we want to have a bigger conversation about religion and hip-hop in 2016.
Yep.
Where would you like to start?
I think we start with Chance and then we have the bigger conversation.
Okay. We have not really talked a lot about Chance on this show.
At all.
I don't think we definitely didn't review Acid Rap when it came out.
Nope.
We didn't review Surf when that came out last year.
Nope.
We've referenced him before. And in fact, I think we've even, like, we had an end of the year show one year where we're like, you know, we should go back and listen to Acid Rap. Like, we even talked about it.
Yeah, I remember that.
But he hasn't really been at the forefront of our listening.
Not at all.
But he's been having little moments lately.
Yeah, he's on a little run.
He showed up what end of the year was it Colbert performed there? As he was SNL by himself, completely as a totally indie artist, which is crazy. This is before, you know, Life of Pablo or anything like that. Then he shows up again on SNL with Kanye to do, why can't I think of the name of the song?
Ultralight Beam.
Thank you. Ultralight Beam. And that verse alone, that's like his, that verse is to him what Monster was to Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what happens, like for a while, he'll have that verse. People will talk about that.
Yep.
Recently he'd been kind of teasing that he had a new project in the works. He went on, was it Tonight Show, I think?
Fallon.
Fallon and performed Blessing.
Yep.
And then end of last week we get what was referred to as Chance 3, and the actual title is Coloring Book.
Mm-hmm.
So before you heard the mixtape, did you see the performance of Blessings?
I did.
What did you think of that performance? Do you want to talk about it in the context of the album?
I mean, it doesn't matter because how I felt about the song when I heard it then has not changed.
Okay.
So, I mean, we can talk about it now.
Okay.
That is when I began to sit back and observe. And that has been, and that is going to fuel a lot of the things that I say tonight.
Okay.
Is my observations of people's responses to what Chance is doing. I wasn't crazy about the song. I think lyrically it's dope. Like, he's rapping. He can rap. Not crazy about the beat. It's very simplistic and it sounds like it's not finished. And then, like, if any other rapper for Jesus, Christian rapper, whatever you want to call it, if they used when the praises go up, the blessings come down as a hook, they would get crucified for it. And Chance, like, gets praised for it. But that speaks to a larger issue that we will address shortly. But I wasn't crazy about the record. It was okay. Can I preface this? Hold on.
Yeah, please do.
Let me preface this. Let me say this. First off, first of all, this is rant number one.
this is feeling like the opening to like your Tupac right now.
Just go ahead and just cue the hit 'em up instrumental underneath what I'm about to say. So we're 225 episodes deep into this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if there's one thing that Doc and I have done, right, wrong, or indifferent, is that we've been honest.
Okay.
We have not been, we're not the washed up rappers who are just hating on everybody because, you know, like whatever we thought was going to happen didn't happen. That's not true. So the fact that I said that I hadn't heard the album as of Monday, and I got like responses like, yo, you better like this album. Yo, I can't believe you haven't heard it yet. Red flag. Like, Chance is already 0-2 with me. And let me also say that I'm not.
What was the first O? Like,
Acid, I didn't like Acid Rap or Surf.
Okay.
I heard them. I didn't like it. I didn't like either of them. They weren't bad. Like, they weren't trash. It just wasn't for me. So I don't want anybody to think that anything I'm going to say in this episode referring to this project is me being the mad rapper, because mad I am not at all. So with that being said, I wasn't crazy about this record, but it's not going to be one of those things where I can't believe you don't like, because I think he's talented. He's extreme, and I think he showcases his talent on this project. Mm. So how I feel about it does not take away from the fact that he's extremely gifted as a rapper and he makes good music, enjoyable music. Just one preface with that. That's my first preface. We're going to get a few of those tonight, but let's continue, Doc.
So when I saw Blessings, my first thought was, number one, this is just a straight up Christian hip hop song, right?
Okay.
Number two, I agree that when I first heard it, I thought it was very sparse, but having heard it in the context of the album, I don't know if this was planned, but I think there's something to that kind of works, because there are definitely records on this album that are almost too full. And like what he does do is a pretty decent job of balancing things out. So like he'll go frantic and upbeat and then sort of take it in a different direction and then come back. So the fact that this is sparse, I'm okay with, because a record like All We Got, which we'll talk about in a little bit, I'm guessing, is the opposite of sparse. You know what I mean? Mm. So I'm okay with that. I thought the whole Rocks of Jericho, like physical effect, I thought that was kind of corny, like from the physical performance. I was like, really? But I'm coming at this from a very different angle. And I got to ask you this. All right. Even the whole, like, I think the song's well done. I think it's catchy. I kind of have issues with, like, the whole concept of the hook.
Okay.
So can you, but before I say that, can you, as you, like, because this phrase, when the praises go up, blessings come down, he did not invent that phrase.
No, that has long existed in the Black church.
Can you give me a brief summary of what that means?
It just means when you praise God, he blesses you.
Right. I don't think that's how it works, does it? Like, to me, that's like when you hear football players thank God for blessing their team for a win. Mm-hmm. Like God had a wager on the game or something and decided that one team prayed harder than the other. Like that's not how it works, right?
I mean, don't.
Is that being too simplistic with it? Because when I hear that hook, I'm like, nah.
Well, I can't sit here and tell you if Jesus has wagers on them, because I've asked that question myself. Like, does he care who wins the Super Bowl? Like, does that matter to God? But I think okay. So here's the question. So yeah. In order to answer your question, I have to ask a question.
Sure.
What are blessings?
Because
I think
you go.
This is what's going to define this episode. We have to clearly define some words,
right,
that are being said and used on Chance's album, on a lot of other people, and then just within the concept of what we believe. So what are blessings?
That's an interesting question. I don't know if I have a good definition of blessings, to be honest with you. I mean, okay. I think if I were to try to think of a positive, and I'm going to answer this in a roundabout way, I hope I can get there. The other way that I could look at this hook is that it's not so much that when you pray, like literally blessings come down. The other way to think of it is that maybe without prayer, you are not in a mind, you are not in a place to appreciate the blessings that you actually have.
That I would agree with.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Now, you could substitute those words in a secular way. You could say, without mindfulness, you don't know how to be grateful.
I think prayer is.
I know it is. I know it is.
Okay. Okay. So for our listeners, like prayer, if you know this, so prayer is deeper than getting on my knees and clasping my hands together before I go to bed and thanking God to bless mommy and daddy and that, you know, good things would happen to me. Prayer is communication with God. And it's a posture. It's not an event. You don't say, all right, it's 9:30, time to pray. Like being God conscious in your life, understanding that everything you do as a Christian reflects Christ through you, good or bad, whatever you do, is a posture of prayer. And I think that mindfulness is a good word, but I think mindfulness sort of dilutes the necessity of prayer in the life of a believer. Like you can't not be a Christian and pray, and not pray. It's impossible.
See, I don't see, we're jumping way ahead, getting into the religion hypothesis. I don't necessarily, and here I am as a non-believer, right? I don't necessarily see it as a binary option. Like, I feel that maybe this is true, maybe it's not. I feel like there are lots of people for whom they might be on a scale, like they might be, they're not, it's not that they believe or they don't believe, but that they are somewhere in the middle.
There's a whole bunch of people like that.
Right. And many of those people in the middle may consider themselves Christian.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I agree with you there.
All right. So we just sort of jumped. We left way ahead.
We left Chance in the dust. Let's go back to Chance and then let's continue our conversation.
Okay. Well, let's start with All We Got.
Okay.
Which has Kanye on it.
Yep.
There's some interesting mixing choices on the song.
There's some interesting mixing on this album.
It's true. Kanye's a little distorted. The hook, I mean, basically the hook is like, there's a lot going on in this hook.
Yeah.
Like, it's Kanye, it's Chance, it's actually underneath Kanye's vocals, I found this out, is my guy Francis and the Lights harmonizing underneath. Like, there's
shout
like,
Francis, yeah.
Francis is all over this.
We got a couple looks on this joint. Shout out to Francis. We need to get him on the show. It's probably not going to happen, huh?
he does not really do, he doesn't do many, he doesn't even do many like press interviews, never mind like live podcasts. So he's a very quiet guy.
That's fine.
But anyway, so there's just a lot of stuff going on, but there are three things that are immediately apparent on this intro that sort of set the stage for what you're going to hear out of this project. Number one, there's energy. Number two, there's optimism. And number three, there is what I will simply call religious references.
Okay.
I'm not calling it gospel. I don't want to put a label on it, but I'm saying those three things, not on every song, but carry the thrust of this project.
Okay.
As far as the song itself, the mix kind of really hurts it for me. It is catchy. It's not my favorite, but it's growing on me. How do you feel about this song?
It's cool.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. Spoiler alert, that you're going to hear that a lot.
Well, that's interesting. There are a couple records. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, like, we are definitely jumping ahead here. It has been very apparent that all of a sudden the internet, I feel, has decided that Chance is the guy right now.
Yeah, that came. And for me, that came out of nowhere.
Came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is it's really the first two things that I talked about. It's like the energy and the optimism. Like,
yeah. Go ahead.
Like, so we've talked about it on the show often because it's been a popular song this spring, but like, just to contrast a song like Panda with what Chance is doing on the majority of the stage. Now, there are some records like Mixtape and Smoke Break that kind of, that kind of go sonically in slightly different directions, but largely Chance is kind of selling happiness and optimism here.
Yeah.
And I think that works. Not only does that work for him, but it makes people want him to succeed.
No, I agree with you. I just thought that was funny.
Like, it in many ways, I mean, the comparisons have been there to early Kanye. I think that does a disservice to early Kanye. I think people forget how unbelievable early Kanye was. But what I think the comparison works is because you've talked about this in the show, when after Kanye's mom died, after the breakup, he went to a dark place for a while and his music did not sound the same.
Yeah. And it hasn't sounded the same since.
Right. Now, there are some people for whom that's a problem. For some people who that's not a problem. For those people who, I'm not saying that's 100% overlap, but I suspect for many of the people who kind of go, man, remember when Kanye was a little goofier and happier? Boy, Chance the Rapper is like the alley-oop at the rim for like a large percentage of those people. There's a wide overlapping Venn diagram there. Not 100%.
I didn't think about that. So maybe that's where the Kanye comparisons come from, is Kanye was very optimistic early in his career. He's very bright-eyed.
Right.
And hopeful. That's a good point. I never thought of that.
People want, and I mean, look, I mean, Chance has charisma. So he's charismatic. He's energetic on a chunk of these songs. Like, people want that to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
it's why Facebook wisdom runs so rampant on social media.
Well, it's also that, and I think we forget this, like, sometimes when music is made, and I think this works for any art form as well, it's not simply 1 + 1 = 2.
Right.
It's not this guy or girl can rap or sing or whatever, and this beat sounds a certain way. So when we put them together, it's going to be 1 + 1 = 2. No, actually, not necessarily. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And there are other factors there.
Yeah.
All that being said, all we got is good.
This is cool.
All right. How do you feel about No Problem?
This is the 2 Chainz and Wayne record?
That's right.
This one's growing on me. It's not bad.
This breaks one of my many rules. I don't want you to rap about the problems of the music industry. I just really, really could care less.
Oh yeah, he's rapping about Freedom Carter 5 and all that stuff. Yeah.
No, it's just in general. I mean, like, if one more label try to stop me, like, you know, I get it. And actually, I mean, there's a theme that runs through this, which is Chance talks a lot about on this project about he wants to be independent. It's like,
yeah,
it's like a big deal for him.
Yep.
And it's really interesting. Like, he did an AMA and Ask Me Anything on Reddit. Like, there was a Big Sean feature that he couldn't get, like, they couldn't get approval for. So, like, when he talks about, like, the labels trying to stop him, like, there's, you know, there's something behind that.
Hmm.
Yeah. Weird he couldn't get the Big Sean clearance.
Right.
You mean Kanye is on the intro.
Right.
How does that work?
You got T-Pain. You got Kirk Franklin. You got, like, a whole, you have an A-list of, you got Jay Electronica. Like, you had, and what I mean by that is, like, he's a hermit. But you got a lot of people on this album.
You said A-list, and then you followed it up with Jay Electronica.
Jay Electronica, I know. As soon as I paused, and I was like, dang it.
There are 10 Jay Electronica fans listening right now who are screaming.
They are. They will be in our mentions Friday morning. They absolutely will. But he's got a lot of guests on this album, and the one feature you couldn't clear is Big Sean?
Mm.
Interesting.
Actually, he would have sounded good on No Problem.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
that would have fit him better than Wayne.
Yeah, well, you know who doesn't really sound good?
Wayne?
Does 2 Chainz know he's offbeat?
Is he offbeat?
He's like ignoring the beat.
I don't hear him offbeat.
It's almost like performance art at this point with 2 Chainz. He's like, will people notice if I don't rap to the downbeat of the drum? Like, will they actually pay attention?
Yeah, I think he just had a different flow. I don't think
is that off. What you call it?
Listen, okay, you're going off the guy who heard it twice, but I saw other people say that he was off beat, but when I heard it, I didn't hear him off beat. But maybe I'm wrong. I'm sure someone will tell me this week.
Wayne didn't sound great.
Nah, but the beat is, I like the beat. I like Chance on it. So it's
again, it's energy. Chance is energetic and uses it to good effect.
Yeah.
And then what he does a nice job of, and this is kind of a theme that runs throughout this project, which is like, it's like contrasts, you know? So he'll go from No Problem to Summer Friends, which sound just completely different.
Yep.
How do you feel about Summer Friends?
I was waiting on Summer Friends to start.
Oh, interesting.
So like, I'm like, okay, this is cool. And I hear Francis on it. And then all of a sudden, like, the song's over. And I'm like, oh, that was it. Okay. So I appreciate Francis.
Yeah, he must have learned some tricks. So he was holed up at Justin Vernon, the guy from Bon Iver, holed up at his spot for a while in 2015, making music. And the harmonizing that he's doing on this is very reminiscent of what Justin Vernon and Bon Iver have done. So when I first heard it, I was like, oh wow, like he really learned some tricks from these guys. But the beat is I'm pretty sure Francis produced it, because I've heard a song of his that's over a variation of this beat, basically.
Mm.
But I like Jeremiah at the end of this. I feel like Jeremiah needs, I don't know.
Don't talk to me about Jeremiah.
You think he could just hire Tricky in the Dream?
I think Jeremiah is dope. He's just his own worst enemy.
Yeah.
Again, like, as big as we is, like, we should be
way bigger,
a freaking smash. And it's only on Urban Radio. Like, that should have been a number, at least a top 10 record, if not a number one record.
Mm.
Like, that record is incredible. But here we are.
I like Chance a lot on Summer Friends. How do you feel about Summer Friends?
I mean, it's okay.
I like the song a lot. I like Chance. Chance is really good on this. Yeah. There are some interesting runs in this project, and in a weird way, I really like Summer Friends, and I really actually like your man Dram singing Special with your girl L Varner.
Yeah, shout out to L.
it's so weird, but it works. No, not a fan.
Yeah, nah, I'm good.
No, okay. completely bizarre. And then we get to blessings, which we talked about.
Yep.
then we get to what's up to the, oh, same drugs.
Yeah. So, do you like the sequencing of this album?
I think the sequencing gets better. I read, and I think this makes sense, and I don't know if this is true, but a lot of this album feels like he's sort of, it's more like he's sort of exploiting the difference between Saturday night and Sunday morning.
On this song?
On this album.
Or just
on this album.
Okay. Gotcha.
And there's really good examples of that later on. But, you know, he kind of balances those two instincts. So, you know, trying to balance the, we'll say, Christian influences with the non-Christian influences. But there are songs in here that I would just straight up cut out. One of them's coming up in a minute. But yeah, I think the sequencing, I think the sequencing makes a lot more sense on the latter half, if that, and we'll talk about that, I guess, as we go, but I'm guessing you don't like the sequencing.
I don't.
You think it's too, like, all over the place?
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah. It's like, if you're trying to tell a story.
I don't think he's trying to tell a story. I don't.
But then, it's like, if you're not telling a story, then, like, tell me you're not telling me a story. There's a way to do that with sequencing.
How do you feel about Same Drugs?
Cool.
I like this record. So I'm not the first one to point this out. This isn't really about drugs.
Right.
The song is actually like, it's an allegory of the story of Peter Pan, which is pretty cool. But I don't know. I like kind of the more, I know people really like the energetic, chants. I kind of like the more chill chants because I feel like sometimes, first of all, like I'm not the first person to say this. His voice is an acquired taste.
It absolutely is.
So to me, when on some of these songs, when he is, hyper, I'm kind of like, oof. But I like chill chants. I like Same Drugs a lot though.
So does he sort of give you like Rosie Perez vibes with his voice? And what I mean by that is like
shrill.
On White Man Can't Jump, like she would just kind of like shriek. Mookie. Oh no, that's Do the Right Thing, my bad. But yeah, it's just very like shrieky.
I know what you mean.
When he turns up, he kind of shrieks a little bit.
A little bit. But I mean, it makes him unique. That's for
it's
sure.
It's a melodic shriek.
Yeah. But I like Same Drugs. So for you, like so far, I haven't really heard anything that you're like really cool on.
What do you mean by like?
I mean, I haven't heard anything that you're really like, wow, this is a really good song. You've been sort of like,
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like if I had to pick one so far, it would be No Problem, but that's simply because of the beat.
Interesting. I hear people really like that No Problem beat, and I'm like, it's okay.
Yeah. Like it's good. I'm not like, yo, that No Problem, son. But it's like, oh, okay, this is cool.
So when we talk about songs that could totally get the boot, Mixtape is one of them, right?
Yeah.
Again,
I can't differentiate him and Young Thug.
He's doing a very good Young Thug impersonation on here.
He does another impression later on in the album. I'm like, really?
Mm.
But yeah, super, super Young Thuggery. And then Lil Yachty.
So couple things going on here. Number one, this hook is dumb.
This is the hip hop version of DJ play this song, or this is another I'm in the studio song.
This is an I'm in the studio. Are you the only one who still cares about mixtapes? Like seriously, that's the concept of this hook.
Y'all needed a studio session to brainstorm that.
I will say this: this is one of the rare Thug songs where I can actually understand, I think, everything he's saying.
Yeah. I haven't heard enough to...
You're like, I cut it off. And I got to say, first of all, Lil Yachty, that's quite a name. Right. He opens his verse. Am I the only one who really cares about cover art? Which... I don't even know where to go with that. He's got a lot of buzz right now, but...
Does.
He's... Yeah,
it's like so bad it's bad buzz.
Is that what it is?
I tried to watch the One Night video, and I tried, and then I heard him. I tried to listen to his mixtape, and I heard him. I heard the first, because the only reason why I tried to check out his mixtape was because I heard he did something with Finding Nemo in the intro. And I'm like, what'd you do with Finding Nemo? And he's like rapping over, or there's like a keep swimming quote, and then he starts rapping. So I'm like, you mean to tell me you picked up, you were watching Finding Nemo and you said, yo, that clip is mad inspiring, son. It's about to set off my mixtape. Like, that's what you did? All right.
I know, we're old. That's the problem. He probably grew up on Finding Nemo.
Nah, you know what? I'm not going to use that old young as an excuse. Okay. Trash is trash. We're just not going to do that.
Okay. I just realized the NBA draft lottery has been set, hasn't it?
Yeah. Let me know. Who got the number one pick?
About to find out. Wait, have they not done it yet? That can't be right.
Did you see Mutombo tweeted that Philly got the pick?
I saw it. He deleted it.
Oh, did he delete it?
Yeah. Wait, have they not done? They haven't done this yet.
They're probably still announcing all the people.
Oh, so the like they don't even really do anything until 8 o'clock. So they're still doing the pre-show. All right, never mind. Anyway, I don't understand why. I mean, I understand from the point of like Chance on the song mixtape. It's sort of like, oh, you don't think I can do this kind of record? I can do this kind of record. I don't want to hear him do that kind of record.
I don't want to hear him do that kind of record.
All right. What do you think about Angels?
Angels is cool.
Again, energy.
It's a grower.
It is. It's amazing how far energy and charisma can take you.
Mm.
I can think of very few people who could make that hook and that beat work for them.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's definitely a Chance the Rapper song.
Yep. I agree with that.
At the very least, I think it's a good counter to mixtape, like tempo wise. That is one interesting thing that I kind of like that he does about, you know, the way that it's sequenced. Like, if he has a song that's at a slower tempo, he doesn't, I mean, for the most part, he's not like stacking them back to back to back. Like, if the tempo slows down, he's going to pick you up right afterwards.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
The one thing I did learn from Angels is that apparently woo wop the bam is Chicago slang. And that's my new favorite phrase because that is amazing. There's no way I can say that and sound remotely cool, but it's fun. Like, you don't hear a lot of city specific slang anymore, right?
No, you don't. Yeah, we were just talking about that maybe like a week or so ago. Yeah, it's dead. Like, I remember going to St. Louis in the summer, and like St. Louis was like its own world. So St. Louis had its own fashion. They wear Eastlands. They wore like golf. This is like summer 95, 96. So Fila was big, but you had like Eastlands. You had sun visors. You had like golf clothes, polos, and the shorts that like stop above the knee. Like, but I didn't see that anywhere else. Mm. It was specific to St. Louis and its city. And I think St. Louis still has specific slang, but. And I think there's little pockets, but it's not regional or as big and as notable as it was in the 90s. I think that's far gone.
So anything else you want to say about Angels?
Nope.
Good, because can we talk about Juke Jam?
Sure.
Your man, Justin Bieber.
Bieber Valley. Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
Tokyo on the hook. This record is dope.
Yeah, the record is dope.
The hook, though. They really used the flow from R. Kelly's Feeling on Your Booty, which
I mean, never mind. I'm not
sure that's a Chicago classic.
It's a classic in a couple of environments. You know what I'm saying?
So see, I think again, going from mixtape to Angels to Juke Jam, like, he does not let the tempo go at one spot for too long.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's good, but I can understand how some people might find that a little jarring. I was not expecting, when I saw the title Juke Jam, I was not expecting a slow jam.
Right.
But first of all, how do they only give Bieber the bridge? Because he sounds amazing on this. I know.
They ain't be hating on Bieb.
Well, you know, he's getting face tattoos now.
Is he?
That's always a warning sign.
Yeah.
You start getting face tattoos.
He's going to shave his head next. It's coming.
But no, I like Juke Jam a lot. I love the feel of it. So far, like, that's my favorite. Like, up to this point on the project, I'm like, yeah. totally, to me, this was like one of the biggest surprises. I did not know that Chance had a record like this in him.
Mm.
And talk about sequencing, because following up Juke Jam with All Night is fantastic, because All Night, woo, please tell me that you like All Night.
I like the beat.
The beat is ridiculous.
I don't like the song.
The hook is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh.
I like the beat, though. Beat is dope.
No, this comes on. And wait, you like house music, right?
Yeah, that's why I like the beat. I'm cool with the beat. Beat is dope.
But you don't like the rest of it?
Yeah, this is like, it's all right.
Because they're talking about drinking. Like,
no.
No.
It's not. Okay, so like, with me, content, sometimes there's just certain records that I just cannot listen to. Like, it sort of like bothers me. It troubles me to hear certain records. Like, I can't hear that.
Mm.
Some records are just stupid because they're stupid. And some of them is like, you know what? I don't agree with the content, but it's still dope. This is just like, meh.
Oh, I love All Night. Like, the Juke Jam All Night combo, that's, to me, that's the highlight of the entire project.
So here's the problem.
Okay.
So I said this a couple weeks ago with Views, is that people were trying to listen for the hype. I saw a lot of people say, well, I don't get the hype. Well, of course you're not going to get the hype. Like, if you got the hype, you wouldn't say, I get the hype. Like, you'd be in the hype. You wouldn't have to acknowledge it. When I hear words like legendary, amazing, trendsetting, I'm listening more intently now. Like, if people are throwing these words at you, let me hear why. And we're more than halfway done with this project, and I'm not hearing any of those apply. So it's one of those things where, like, I know I'm going to have to come back and listen to this record later. But as of right now, two full listens and a lot of skimming, I'm not there yet. I don't hear it. So, you know, I don't hear amazing or anything. I'm just like, All Night's a dope. The beat is dope, but I'm just not there yet. I don't hear it. Excuse me.
I need to be someplace where I could hear All Night and then Fade.
Listen, man, if you want to hear an album full of songs that you need to, like, hear like that, you need to get that K-Tronada album.
Who produced this record?
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Well, look at that. Look at that timing. Yo, that, the 99.9%, yes. Yes. He's got a record with Craig David on. Craig David. Fill me in, Craig David. It is dope, man. Like, it's really, really dope.
All right, so here's my funny Craig David story.
Uh-oh. Oh, God.
So it's college. No. So it's college. When Craig David was, when he had his little moment, early 2000s.
Yeah.
I think I was making a mix CD for a girl.
Uh-huh.
And of course, I knew she liked Craig David. So we start with the regular, but then, you know, I had to slide in the Primo remix.
Of course you did. You talking about the 7 days?
Yeah. Oh, young Doc had no idea what he was doing.
Oh, man. I don't want my girl listening to Primo. We had to, what was the name of the episode? My daughter can't listen to Cormega. Classic Clock Radio speaker.
You go out for the date. She pulls up in the 96 Land Rover. Shook ones.
The 96 Land Rover.
You're like, nah, this is it.
She's in the 95 Q45 Infinity.
Right.
She's playing the like Mobb Deep, like the infamous demos or something like that. She's playing like a J Love mixtape.
She rolls up. You're like, I don't think I've heard that. I don't think I've heard that remix. What is that?
Oh, son, you ain't heard the Alchemist remix of this Ali Vegas record, son.
And you're just like, nope, not happening.
Not happening. Nope. I don't want to talk about Ali Vegas on my first date. Nah, I'm good. No, thank you. Shout out to Ali Vegas.
She's trying to talk to you about Slaughterhouse, and you're like, nope.
So who's your favorite? Yo. So hold on. Let me tell you this story. Hold up. So I was talking to a girl, and so what happened was I posted on Facebook a quote that Joe Budden said. So somebody responded. Somebody's gonna like comb through my Facebook and find this, whatever. So this girl I kind of know, like, she's cool. She hits me up and she's like, yo, you know Joe, you listen to Joe Budden, he's my favorite rapper, blah 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 blah. So whatever, So maybe like a month later, I talked to one of our mutual friends and she's like, you know, she told me that you post something about Joe Budden. I don't know why she called me or whatever, but she told me that you post something on Facebook about Joe Budden. And she got quiet and she was like, Armand, well, you like Joe Budden. She likes Joe Budden. I'm like, that is a red flag. I'm not, you don't date women who listen to Joe Budden. That's what you don't do. Because all Joe Budden fans are absolutely crazy. And I think everybody's crazy, but there's just a certain type of crazy that listens to Joe Budden. No, I'm good. No, thank you.
Now, aren't you a Joe Budden fan?
I'm crazy. I'm crazy. Just and I'm coming out my crazy because I don't like Joe Budden like
just
I used
as long
to.
As we're acknowledging the double standard here.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
But I'm coming out of my my All Love Lost review. I said I was done. I was tired of it. So even the stuff I'm hearing off the A-Rap music tape, it's like it's dope, but I feel like I've heard it before. I'm not like chomping at the bits. I'll listen to it, but after MM4 was, you know, Chance the Rapper.
So let's talk about How Great.
Okay.
Featuring Jay Electronica and his cousin Nicole.
Right.
And so after juke jamming all night, now we get some gospel.
Yeah.
So first of all, this intro is way too long.
Yeah, he sing the whole song almost.
It's 2 minutes and 42 seconds. I know because when I re-listened to this just before the show started, I wanted to know where do I fast forward to so I can listen to the song. Like a little bit of this as an intro might have worked, but I don't need 2 minutes and 40 seconds of this. Any thoughts on the intro?
No. I mean, nah. He starts off with How Great Is Our God for 2.5 minutes.
Right.
Like the whole song.
And then we get Chance
Electronica. He sounds just like JLEC on his verse.
He kind of out JLEC's JLEC.
Yeah, because JLEC sounds like Chance. It's weird.
I like this beat. I like Chance on here. JLEC is okay.
He's all right.
How do you feel about this song?
It's cool. It's cool. That's
Chance is getting his rappity rap on.
Yeah, like I like the verse. Again, he can rap. He can rap his behind off.
Mm.
But it's all right. It's all right.
If the one thing I'll say, if you are somebody who is not particularly religious, there are a lot of references. I mean, all over this album, but particularly in this song, there's probably a lot of references that you're not gonna get unless you go to Genius and read some of these references.
Yeah.
So I'll have to say, if you like this song, then you are doing yourself a disservice by not trying to actually read what he's talking about. If you don't consider yourself Christian.
I mean, it's when you bought the Wu-Tang manual.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like there are, I think every culture has its own language that it uses and speaks and, you know, I could say certain things and other Christians will get it. And I could say it to you and you would give me the deer in the headlights stare.
Right. Like, like the phrase mustard seed means nothing to me, but now I know it means something.
It's a scripture.
Right.
You know, having faith the size of a mustard seed. So, right. So that's cool because, you know, I think one thing about when religion is in hip hop, that's not Christianity. So we could look at 5%. We could look at Muslims. When hip hop was very Afrocentric in the early 90s, late 80s, they were using that terminology all the time. And it was making people pick up the Quran.
Mm.
So I think that saying, what is that? Because I think that's what good, and I'm not, I think that's what good preaching does, is it makes you go back and look for it yourself, where you don't just take what your pastor says is law, where you take notes, you find the scriptures, and then you go back and do your own research. You know what I'm saying? Instead of just regurgitating what my pastor said, well, what did God tell you? What did you get out of it? Instead of just regurgitating with somebody else's revelation. You know what I'm saying? So I think that that's good. That it's making people go and look and seek and search. That's good.
Yeah, I think there are sometimes when when going to Rap Genius, you don't get a whole lot out of it. Like, okay, I see the lyrics, whatever. But there are some, there's some artists for whom it could be worth it. I think Chance is one of those artists. If you're not somebody who picks up on the lyrics quickly, immediately.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the last record that did that most recently is the We Made It freestyle with Jay Alec and Jay. Now, I remember we talked about that record and we gave our opinion. I think we said Jay was kind of behind on the beat and all that stuff. So I've got a friend who's Muslim and we were having a conversation about the record maybe 2 weeks after, and he broke down everything that they were saying. And there's a whole lot that they were saying within what they were saying. But I think good hip hop should do that. So
keeping with this sort of rapid switch from whether it's changing tempos or changing subject matter, we go from How Great to Smoke Break.
Yeah.
Excuse me, featuring your man, Future Hendrix. Do I want to hear Chance sing about deserving a smoke break? No. I get the idea that the idea is him and his girl don't have time to do the stuff they used to do. I get that. I just don't really love the song. It's not terrible. And actually, Future's not bad on here, but I'm good.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree. This is very whatever.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yep.
And after that, so we go from How Great, Smoke Break, but now we go back and we've got Finish Line and Drown.
Yep.
Featuring T-Pain, Kirk Franklin, somebody named No Name, I think that's the female rapper on Drown. This is interesting. I think people are going to like Finish Line. I think that bridge with the doo-doo-doo, like that's super catchy. It's impossible to get out of your head. I think this is the kind of, like, that first half of the song is definitely the kind of, like, optimism and energy that people like from Chance. T-Pain on the hook is okay, but I like the bridge. I like Chance on it. What do you think about the first half of this?
This sounds like the music you play during offering time at church. So we are rapping over We're Blessed in the City. Like, we're rapping over Fred Hammond records now. I'm cool.
Okay.
I think the record wraps up what you've been saying about Chance as an artist. It's like the epitome of optimism.
Yeah.
Sounds very optimistic and hopeful.
Yeah.
So, but I'm cool. It's all right.
I like it. And then part two is Drown, which is basically just a long verse from, you get a verse from No Name, and then you get your man Kirk Franklin at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Completely different song, slower, but it's a powerful message. I don't love the song, but I can appreciate the message. How do you feel about the second half of this?
It's cool.
It's cool. All right. I mean, that's pretty much, so you're summing up, I mean, we'll talk about the last song in a second, but basically for the most part, this album is cool.
It's cool. Yeah. It's cool. Like it's good music. Like there's nothing. I'm just like, yo, this is trash.
Right.
We can rap. The beats are good. The melodies are good. The hooks are good. These are well-crafted songs. They just don't hit to me. Like, They're not hitting for me.
Yeah. And so the last track on here is a reprise of Blessings, with a whole gang of people serving as a chorus. Who's on this? Ty Dolla Sign, BJ Chicago Kid, Anderson .Paak, Chance is singing, a whole bunch of people singing. The part at the end, are you ready for Blessings? Are you ready for Miracle?
Yep, Fred Hammond.
Yeah. Chance's verse is dope on this. And I like
it.
I like the stripped down feeling.
Yeah. I actually like this record.
I think it's a really good way to close the project.
Yep. I like it.
So overall, I'm guessing you're gonna say this is cool, maybe even good, but not great.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Like it's just real cool.
It's real cool. That has not been the response from people though.
At all.
People
are blown away by this project.
I had somebody. It's actually somebody who I know. His name's Ian. He listens to the show. He asked me if 2016, and he was kind of joking because he always jokes that, you know, hip hop hasn't been good since the 90s. He was like, "Is 2016 gonna be the best year for hip hop since the 90s?" And I was like, "What?
Easy there, cowboy.
Easy there." But people really, really like this Chance record, Chance album.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think it comes down to, I think there's a couple things. I think people want him to win. He's a likable person. He's energetic. He's making optimistic music. But it's not, for the most part, it's not corny.
Yeah.
Which is a hard thing to do. You can cross over. It's real. It's you can mess that up real fast.
Yeah. I mean, is it easy to make corny music or just like, just people just make corny music because they're just not musical and they're not good?
I don't think that making corny music has anything to do with not with being musical. Like I think that it's, I would say that he is, now whether or not you want to call his music Christian, we'll say he is making Christian, he has Christian influenced songs on here and he has optimistic songs. And we'll go
optimism.
What's up?
Say, so we'll go optimism. We'll get there.
We're going to get there real soon. And he is, I don't think it's basically just that he's just not corny. Like you talked about Blessings, how somebody like a Christian hip hop artist would get crucified for that hook.
Absolutely.
I think it's just because people see him as cool. So that hook works.
Yeah.
All it is.
Yeah. So that goes into image and all that stuff. Yeah. I agree with that. So when somebody cool makes something corny, it's cool. Does that make sense?
It does. I would say, that's a good question. I think as long as it's sincere and it comes across a certain way, then I would say that there's a fine line between corny and cool, actually. I think that's what I really want to say.
I think they're both subjective.
You're probably right.
I think they're both subjective because I thought Blessings was corny, but people like it. You know what I'm saying? I think that some things that people, okay, I'm not gonna go there. Let's just continue with the conversation because I'm gonna get there.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.